actually comes to us from a veteran of the Shir, Tzvi Wolfo, who's here for a long time, and asked the following question, which happens to have a lot to do with this week's Parsha, so I thought it would be something good to start with. And if we have a little time at the end, Michael Spindel, sent a few questions to me on WhatsApp yesterday, which we'll try to get to as well. A couple of them are relevant to guys living in apartments, candle lighting in apartments, and the related things. Let's wait till we get there, okay? So one of the mitzvahs we have in this week's parsha is the mitzvah of tzedakah, okay? The question that I was asked was, let's say a guy's working, he had a job over the summer, and he has an income, and he wants to give 10% to tzedakah, ma'aser k'safim, and he's in shul one morning, and someone comes around collecting money, asks for a donation, and he gives him $1, he gives him a few dollars, whatever. He wants to know, can I then deduct that from my count of the 10% that I'm taking from my income? Okay? Which essentially what he's asking is tzedakah and miser the same thing, or are they different? Okay? So I want to examine some of the underlying issues over here, a couple of other interesting nafkaminas, a couple other practical situations, and we'll start with the psukim this week's parsha. Okay? Everyone have marmakomos? Anyone missing a source sheet? Okay?
Is it
excellent? Yeah, here you go. Okay, so Parshas Re'eh. This is this week's Parsha, Dvarim, Perek Tezvav. Starts with the rules of Shemitah, lending people money, and of course the rule that Shemitah, when it comes along, negates any loans. And the Torah says you should not have a heavy heart lending money to people before Shemitah, even though you know you might not be able to get the money back. You have to have Emunah, that Hashem is going to make sure you have your parnasah. Whatever money you have is there to share with other people as well. And you shouldn't be fazed by the fact that there's a threat that he's not going to pay you back. So along similar lines, Pasuk Zayin, towards the middle of that paragraph, the end of the line. Pasuk Zayin. Ki yevecha evyon me'achad achecha, v'chad sharecha ba'artzecha, asher Hashem okecha nosin loch. When there shall be a poor person in your gates, in your city, in the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to you, lo sa'ameit es levavecha, you should not harden your heart. You should not clench your fist, close your hand, from giving to your brother who's poor. Next pasuk. Rather, you should open up your hand and give to him, and provide whatever it is that he's missing in order to support him, to sustain him, and make sure that he's taken care of. Please pass the source sheet to the new guys. Good. Pasuk Tes. Yishamer l'cha pen yeh davar im levavcha b'lial. Be careful that you don't have in your heart the following evil thought. Lemor karva shnasa sheva shnasa shemitah. We mentioned this earlier. Don't have in your mind that, you know, shemitah's coming and I'm not going to be able to get the money back. Ra incha b'achicha avyon, and you have a negative outlook towards him. V'lositin lo, you don't give him. V'kar lecha el Hashem v'hoi b'chachayda. And that person who's suffering, who you're not sharing with, is going to call out to Hashem and you will be guilty for that. Nason titain lo, you shall certainly give to him. Lo yer levavcha besitcha lo, you shall not have bad thoughts in giving it to him. You shouldn't be bitter about having to share your parnas with him. Ki beglal davar hazeh, because for this reason, yirecha shabakecha b'chol ma'asecha b'chol meshlach yodecha. Because we forget about that sometimes. We think we make a lot of money because we're successful. We work hard, climb the corporate ladder. Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Not a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but we earn our own paycheck because we're talented, we're skilled, we work so hard, we made the right connections, we went to that networking seminar, and before you know it, I'm on my way up to be CEO. But we forget that maybe the reason that Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving you that success is precisely because he wants you to be able to have the opportunity to share it with others, to give to others who are not as fortunate, and don't take all the credit for yourself. And finally, the Pasuk says, "Kilo yachto evrim kareva aretz." There will always be poor people. That's a reality. Therefore, Hashem says, I'm giving you this mitzvah because that's just something that the economy will always see. The economies will always have people who are underprivileged and need more support. Okay, that's the background of the Pesukim. That's all we know about the mitzvah tzedakah. It doesn't say how much you're supposed to give. No, it says if someone asks, give them and don't feel bad about giving them. That's all it says. Look in Shulchan Aruch. The laws of tzedakah appear in Yoredeya. Simon Reish Mem Zayin. Okay? So, interesting. You don't always have this in Shulchan Aruch, but in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Tzedakah, it starts and interspersed throughout the mitzvah. Very unusual, you have a lot of musar. I don't have any more. They're around. They're definitely around. there's a lot of mussar that's found in the laws of tzedakah, which is not so surprising because the psukim themselves include a lot of mussar. So Shulchan Aruch says mitzvah say litin tzedakah v'yasag siyad. So this is important for the definition. Number one, there's a mitzvah that say to give tzedakah to the extent that you can afford it, as much as you can afford. The kama pamin tzavin above mitzvah say the Torah commands it several times. Yesh lo saseh ma'al me'ena v'meno. And likewise, there's a lo saseh. It also doesn't always happen, right? That not only is there a positive mitzvah to do it, there's a lo saseh attached to it. So if you don't give tzedakah when you have the opportunity, you have a bunch of things counting against you. And then he lists these psukim, which we just saw. And the final line in the Shulchan Aruch is, ma'od yesh lizar b'zeh. Be very careful about this. Ki esher shi'avo le'shvichas damim. So it could be that your refraining from giving tzedakah will cost someone their life. Everyone knows the famous Nachum Ish Gamzu, yeah, the Rebbe of Rebbe Kiva. He would always say Gamzu Tova, and he lost all his limbs, and he was mamish dying. His house was going to fall down, and he kept saying Gamzu Tova. And they asked him, like, how could you have such an attitude? So one thing he says, because I know it's coming to me because I deserve it. There was once a person who was asking me for money, and I said, hold on a second, you know, I need to get the money, I need to get the food out of my my backpack. And by the time I was able to respond to him, he had already dropped dead. Okay. So there's a pikuach nefesh aspect of he was getting some food. There's a pikuach nefesh aspect involved in tzedakah that a person always has to have on the radar. But we're going to talk about cases which are not so dramatic as well. Okay, siv beis, very important, Rabbi Say. Okay, a pasuk in Yeshaya. La olam ein adam me'ani min hatzedakah. A person will never become poor from giving tzedakah. Never. If the Shulchan Aruch says it, it's true. You will never become poor from giving tzedakah. That's what it says. V'lo davara, nothing bad. V'lo hezek mizgal aliyah. You'll never have any damage, anything negative that takes place on account of your giving tzedakah. Shenemar v'haya ma'isa tzedakah shalom. All the results of an act of chesed of tzedakah are peaceful. Okay, fine. I'm sorry, I'm driving this home because this is how the Shulchan Aruch starts, and it's very important. We'll get back to the practical application in a second. Siv Gimel, kol merachem al ha'aniyim. Anyone not have a place? I'm right smack in the middle of the page. Siv Gimel, kol merachem al ha'aniyim. Anyone who has mercy on poor people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu merachem alav, Hashem has mercy on him too. Haga, Zakt Rama, v'yitein ha'adam al libo shum mevakesh kol shah parnasas mekadosh Baruch Hu. Person has to remember that you're constantly, every day, three times a day, you say Baruch Aleinu in Shemon Esrei. You're davening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me a parnasa. Even if you're studying for the LSATs, have in mind, when you're davening for a parnasa, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me an easy time, taking the test, do well, I don't have to take it four times, I can get a good job and a good firm, and I'll make a parnasa. So you're always davening for parnasa. So, wait a second. If I'm always davening for parnasa, that means I'm essentially knocking on someone's door, knocking on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's door, to give me a handout. So this guy comes to me and asks for a handout, what's the difference? K'moshu mevakesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu yishma sha'avoso, kahu yishma sha'avos aniyim. Have in mind, when the guy comes to your door, that I'm always asking Hashem, and I want him to listen to me, and I want him to respond, hu hadin, I should be responsive to the ani who asked me for something. Gamitin alivo ki galga hachozor ba'olam. This is also important. The Gemara says, bear in mind that poverty is, it's a wheel of fortune. I think that's probably where the game show comes from. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Wheel of fortune, meaning sometimes you're on top, sometimes you're on the bottom, and just because you're rich, your grandchildren may be poor. And the haraya, just about everyone in this room, your grandparents were probably poor. Okay? Great-grandparents were probably poor, and maybe closer to you. But it's just because you're successful doesn't mean that, all right, hey, I got a good job. I live on Rodeo Drive, some of the Lidori doors forever and ever. My grandchildren, great-grandchildren will also never have any parnasa issues. It's not true. So we have to be sensitive to that. So for Adam Shiva who obeno ben beno li demi dezu, someone's gonna have to go through it. So the more that you're compassionate to others, the more Hashem will be compassionate to you, and others will be compassionate as well. Okay. And then finally, the last thing that the Shulchan Aruch mentioned, Sibdal, 2 points. Number one is that tzedakah tatzel limavas. Tzedakah prevents death and other terrible gzeros. It saves a person. Look at the last part of Sibdal. This is where our discussion begins. The Shenemar, the middle line. Normally, not allowed to test God. Not allowed to test God. Ever. There's one exception. What are you allowed to test God? Comes to tzedakah. Pasuk in Malachi says, "Ubechanuni na bezos." You can test me on this. Namely, that Torah says, and this is Parsha, Aser ta'aser. Yeah, everyone familiar with that pasuk? Aser ta'aser, you shall certainly give misers. Meiser, the Chazal dash from there, aser bishvil shetis asher. Give your tenth in order that you should become rich. Okay? So Chazal tell us that is communicating to us through the Pasuk Malachi that you can test God and say, God, I'm gonna give it, but I'm waiting for my payback. Doesn't mean it's gonna happen tomorrow. Doesn't mean that a pot of gold is gonna show up on your doorstep, but Hashem says, I got your back. And you can test me on that. Now, the Rama says, Yeshomrim Dafka Benesinas Meiser Motalanas Kosh Baruchu, Avlo Bishar Tzedaka. Could be the Rama says that's true about Meiser, because that's the context in the Pasuk. When if I give my 10%, so then Hashem will reward me and make me rich, and I can wait and test Hashem for that. Okay, so it's chiddush agabe chiddush. Okay, because what's the pasuk actually talking about, Rabbosai? What's it actually talking about? Meiser from what I grow in my field, right? But you see, the Rama closely associates the meiser that I grow in my field with the meiser that I take off my paycheck. And says you had that special bracha of wealth, okay, from giving miser. And the Shulchan Aruch goes even weiter to tell you that it's applicable to any tzedakah, okay. So that's subject to machlokas. But the Rama says at least miser ksafim, you have that special skula. Rabosai, bottom line, getting back to our shaila, that last line of the Rama is very telling because it indicates that the Rama poses a distinction between tzedakah and ma'aser k'safim, that those are two categorically different mitzvos. Just because they're both going to the poor person doesn't mean that they're the same. One is tzedakah, one's ma'aser. Okay, so in order to develop this, so let's go beyond the psukim we've seen so far. We have psukim that talk about giving tzedakah. The guy comes and asks you, "Don't harden your heart. Don't close your fist. Give it to him." Okay. Rabbosai, where in the Torah does it talk about the mitzvah of Meiser Ksafim? A little bit of a challenge. A little bit of a trick question. Give me a pasuk where it talks about taking 10% off of your income to give it to a poor person or to give it to anyone.
Is it just recommended?
It's not there. It's like
nowhere. It doesn't say anywhere. There's no mitzvah of Meiser Ksafim in the Torah. But, we do have a hint. We do have a very clear hint in the Torah.
The farmers.
Okay, but farmers doesn't help me because there is a mitzvah in the Torah to take 10% from your produce. I'm asking where we have some indication of your goods, your monetary wealth. How do you know it might? Oh, so there's actually two. So there's even two. But the primary example that's given, the Rambam quotes this, if I'm not mistaken. The Rambam cites Avram Avinu, Vayitain lo Meiser Mikol, after the war of the kings, the five kings and the four kings. So what happens? Avram Avinu brings back all the people who were captured in Sodom, and all the spoils of war, gives it back to the king of Sodom. King of Sodom says, please take it, whatever you want, just give me the people back. Avram says, I'm not interested in you going around bragging that you made Avram Avinu rich. Just take it all back. He just says, you know, do me a favor, I'm going to give some to pay back all my warriors, all the people who worked for me to help save you guys. And he bumps into Melchizedek Melech Shalem, a.k.a. Shem Ben Noach. Rashi says over there, Melchizedek was Shem Ben Noach, okay? So he gives him 10% of all the spoils of the war. We also find a little bit later Yaakov Avinu, when he's running away from his father's house and all the way to Lavan. And he has a famous dream with the angels going up and down the ladder. So after the dream, one of the things he says to Hashem is, if you get me back safely, so, Kol Asher Titein Li, Aser Aserenu Loch. So I'll give you 10%. It's not exactly the same thing. That was not that I have this notion of giving 10% as a percentage of my income, of what I acquire. That was like a neder. That was, he took upon himself to say, Hashem, I promise to do this special mitzvah if you get me back safely. But that is very indicative. What's that? But whatever he came back with, which was a lot. So, Rabbi Yossi, take a look at the next page. Page 2. So, start with a Tosos in Mesachas Taina, Daf Masechet Tanya, sorry, Daf Tes Amud Aleph. It's the third source on page 2. Aser Taser. Okay, that's passing this week's parsha. Hachi Isa B'Sifri. The following drush is found in the Sifri, in the Medrash on our parsha. Aser Taser. Es Kol Tzvu Azarecha. The Torah says you shall take 1/10 of all of the things you grow in your field. Hayotzei Asadeh Shana Shana. That you produce annually. And the Medrash expounds. All I know from the simple reading of the pasuk is that you have to take percent from your produce. What about ribis uprakamatya v'chol shar ravacha minayin? Where do I learn that you have to take 10% from interest usury that you gain? Obviously, lending to non-Jews. Prakamatya. What's prakamatya? Business, merchandising. Okay, buying and selling things. Chol shar ravacha. Any other types of profit? Let's say someone gives you a present. Okay. Minayin tamalomar es kol. Torah says aser taser es kol. The es kol, that's extra in the pasuk, comes to teach you everything. Because it could have just said take 10% of your produce. Kol is larabos, other types of profit that you gain. Monetary profit. Okay? So you have a drusha. What's your knee-jerk reaction? If a drusha like that appears in Chazal, what is it? Sounds like Torah Shebaal Peh. It's a din d'oraisa, right? Mm-hmm. So there is a minority view that, in fact, adopts the idea that Meiser Ksufim is Dindo Raisa. Okay, even though there's no explicit pasuk later, that Rem is Avram Avinu, that was way before Torah was given. Hashem didn't command it to us later at any point. But we derive from here it's Dindo Raisa. You can be docha that very easily and say it's an Asmachta. Yeah? Asmachta is, occasionally, Chazal will institute something, a rabbinic law, but they'll find a certain pasuk in the Torah that indicates some sort of hint or some sort of asmach. Asmach means something we can associate it with in the Torah, even though it's not actually the intent of Torah Shabbat per se to provide that command. Okay, so it's a dindo raisa according to some. Others say it's a dindo rabbanan, and others say no, it's totally optional. Totally optional. It's like a neder or a minhag, things you do voluntarily. Give an example of a neder, something that everybody does. But it's not actually obligatory. There are more things than we think about. What? Let's take that. Wearing yarmulke. Okay, that's a minhag Yisrael, universal, certainly amongst Ashkenazim. Does it say in the Torah you have to wear a yarmulke? No, you have to wear. Chazal say you have to wear a yarmulke when you make a bracha, okay, or davening or something like that. But some to walk down the street without a yarmulke, that's something that people accepted upon themselves. Okay, that's a broad ranging, universal minhag Yisrael. Certainly amongst Ashkenazim. Okay? So Marv is something which started as Rishus, perhaps. It's a funny kind of Rishus, but we accepted upon it voluntarily. Okay? So this is something, that there are some things that have more weight. There are some things that were universally accepted, such as the Gemara says that some of the quote-unquote minor fasts, not Tisha B'Av, let's say Shavuos or B'Tammuz. So when there's no active persecution, you live in America in 2016, no one's trying to kill us, no crusades, no pogroms, Baruch Hashem. So strictly speaking, there's no obligation to fast on Shavuos or B'Tammuz. Tisha B'Av, where everything happened again and again and again, so then the Gemara says everyone has to fast, even if it's not a time of persecution. But nowadays, Shavuos or B'Tammuz, Sar B'Teves, Tzom Gedalia, we're not being persecuted, it's also not time of Beis HaMikdash, so it's an optional fast. But Klal Yisrael accepted upon us, so it's obligatory to a certain extent, because of that general acceptance of Klal Yisrael. So Meiser Ksufim, according to many poskim, and I think the accepted opinion of most poskim, is that Meiser Ksufim is in that category, not obligatory, but has the status of a neder. Rav Shachter always says that the Mashkiach, died in the 70s, but the previous Mashkiach of YU, Rav Lessen, whenever guys would get married, he would tell them, don't separate Meiser. You're being supported by someone else. You're not making a regular income. You're learning in the Kollel. You don't have an obligation to separate Meiser. Okay? And, in theory, if a person had been separating Meiser, but now doesn't feel he's obligated to do so, he's not capable of doing so, he lost his job, whatever it is, so he can make a hataras nadarim to release himself from that obligation of separating 10%. Okay? Barak, you had a question? Mayim Achronim. So the Shulchan Aruch actually says the shortest sif in all of Shulchan Aruch is Mayim Achronim Chova. Okay? It's an obligation to do Mayim Achronim. Correct. I'm just pointing to the fact that it happens to be the Mechaber says that it's obligatory. But correct. There are That's something a little bit different, because that's something which there may be reasons why it doesn't formally apply, but people do anyway, maybe for Kabbalistic reasons. But you're right. Okay, that could be an example. Yeah, Dave.
I asked my Rav once about giving Meiser. Like, if you say to yourself, okay, I have a job now, I'm going to give Meiser. So he said that it's, like, if you're not making a ton of money throughout the year, then, like, you don't, you know, you're not supporting anyone, like, you're saving all that, you don't have the obligation to, but once you accept upon yourself to give Meiser, then you can't go back.
Correct. Unless you did Ataras Nedarim. That's what we're saying.
Well, right. So...
So now, good. So you're right.
What does it mean, accept upon yourself to give Meiser? Like, I do it, but, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what? Like, do I have to make a formal, you know, acceptance?
No,
or
no.
If I just do a cash flow every month, you know what I mean?
Excellent question. So let me give an example. This is important. In a few weeks, everyone's going to do Hataras Nedarim before Rosh Hashanah. Okay? So if you read carefully, and everyone should, you should read in English. It's more, you know, Hataras Nedarim, if you don't know what's going on, it doesn't really count. Okay? It's more important to read in English rather than read in Hebrew. So you'll see. One, you know, some of the things that are on the list are not, you know, only nedarim. If a person would say, I hereby, you know, prohibit upon myself all chocolate because he needs to go on a diet. So he wants to make it usher to eat chocolate for himself. Okay, that's a neder. But also a minhag tov that he was noheg shalosh pamim, he did it three times, or something that he did even once, but he planned on doing forever. Guy shows up one day, the base medesh, wants to wear a jacket for davening. Okay? And he plans on wearing the jacket, you know, long term, that's how he feels he can improve his tefillah. So that person, if for whatever reason they decide I'm not going to wear a jacket for davening, so they would have to do Hataras Nedarim. Because is there strictly speaking, is there a chiyuv to wear a jacket for davening? I'd say no. But once you accept upon yourself to go above the letter of the law and do it, so then if you change your mind, you need to have Hataras Nedarim. Okay? Because a minhag tov has the status of a neder if you do it repeatedly or intend to do it repeatedly. A nazir is more like the chocolate guy, where it's a formal acceptance of a vow.
And then, like, if you violate any of the naziris, then you actually, like, would be prosecuted.
Correct. Okay, so Rabbi, so now let's backtrack. So we just established, one second, we just said that Meiser Kesafim is not actually obligatory according to most poskim. So, okay, fine, that was 10%. Okay? So what am I left with? So, Taka, how much tzedakah do I need to give? Right? So if you look on the other side of the page, let's go back to... Do I have it here? I'm sorry. Stay on page 2. Towards the bottom of the page. Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya Hilchot Tzedakah Siman Reish Mem Tes. Sif Aleph. Shir Nisinasa. What is the obligatory amount to be given to tzedakah? So first he says, Im Yodam HaSegas Yitim Kfi Tzarchanim. If you're able to cover whatever the needs of the local anim are, great. But you're not super rich. Then the cap, even if there's a greater need, you don't have to give more than 1/5, right? That's general principle when it comes to mitzvos. You're only obligated to give up to 1/5 of your money. So if you have to buy a lulav and esrog, it's very expensive. If it's more than a fifth of your assets, you don't have to do the mitzvah lulav and esrog that year. Or you can borrow from someone else. Mitzvah and a mokher. If there's no other way to get lulav and esrog, you can't borrow from anyone else. And you can't afford it, you don't have to pay more than 1/5 of your assets.
Pater min mitzvah, not 5 or 3.
Correct. Right? You're pater. You're an onus. Echad me'asara midabeninus. So he says the best thing to do is to give up to 1/5. The average way to discharge your obligation is 1/10. Okay, interesting. That's the average way of doing it. The above average is 1/5. Pachas mikan ein ra. But if a person gives less than 1/10, so then already they're not such a great guy. It sounds like you're a little stingy. Okay. Well, hold on 1 second. Look at Siv Beis, skip 2 paragraphs down, Siv Beis, La'olam lo yimna adam asmo pachos mishlishas hashekel l'shana. All that being said, 1/5, 1/10, or less than that, make sure you never give less than 1/3 of a shekel every year. What's 1/3 of a shekel? A few dollars. Okay? If you do less than that, you haven't filled the mitzvah of tzedakah. Okay? So both sides, we're almost at our answer. What was the question? The question was, I gave money to the guy for tzedakah. Can I take that off of my mice? So the answer is, you see from here, it seems, tzedakah and mice are totally different things. Mice is an idea that is somehow connected to mice from the field, which we'll get back to. Tzedakah is something which has to do with, very practically, if a guy does not come up to you and say, excuse me, sir, can you spare a brother some change? Okay? Something that he's Jewish. The obligation to give a non-Jew is probably Dindra Abanan. For the sake of Shalom, the it says in Gittin that we are mefarnesim aniyim, aniyei akum as well. We don't want to differentiate completely. We want to support local organizations as well, even if they're not not Jewish. We don't want to look like we're totally discriminatory. It's not good for the Jews. Okay, but if a guy says, "Please, can you help me out?" That is what the Torah is talking about in this week's parsha. That is what the Torah talks about when it says, "Open up your hand. Don't feel bad about it. Don't send them away empty-handed. Give them some money." My suksafim is even if I never bump into a poor person my entire life, which it can happen. If you live in certain places, you'll never actually meet a poor guy. I'll please gonna have to take my suksafim means 10% off of my money. Do they overlap? Of course they overlap. Meaning, if I give money to the guy who comes to my door and ask me for the money, fine. I can deduct that from my miser. That'll count towards my 10%. But if he never comes to my door, I still have to give the 10%, but it's not from the mitzvah of tzedakah per se, it's a mitzvah of miser k'safim. Okay, everyone with me? Nafkamina, spoke to Shechter about this. Let's say you get an envelope in the mail. And Mirza Hashem, when you get married and you have your own place, you'll get 10 envelopes in the mail every day. From this organization, that organization, this person collecting. So, is there a mitzvah of tzedakah when someone requests money via mail?
Yeah.
Okay. So you say yes.
Is that really
okay. So you will get the mitzvah of tzedakah if you give the money to the person. The Medrash actually says that if money drops out of your pocket and someone picks it up, Medrash says Akash Baruch Hu Kovei Lo Bracha. You still get some sort of credit for that. But am I obligated with all the assays and los assays about giving a person money to Dukkha if they're not knocking on my door and asking for the money? No. I'm not obligated to give him something and not let that person go empty-handed unless he actually approaches me. And the Rambam quotes a pasuk from Tehillim, Al Yoshev Dach Nechom. Do not send away a poor person in shame. But if he sends me a letter from Eretz Yisrael, that's not sending him away in shame because he sends that letter to 1,000 people and however many people respond, they respond. And likewise, even if an organization, someone comes to my door knocking and collecting for whatever, you know, some Jewish organization on behalf of poor people, if I say, "I'm sorry, sir, I can't help you right now," am I sending away a poor person in shame? No. If I give that guy money, is it part of my 10% to fulfill my shiksavim? 100%. But I'm not bound by the same rules of tzedakah that are outlined in the pesukim we read from this week's parasha earlier in the same way if I'm not approached by the individual who is actually in search of those funds. Okay? Now, agav, we said there's a cap on one-fifth. Rav Shechter told me that he gives much more than one-fifth. You're only supposed to give up to one-fifth. So there's an exception. There's a few exceptions to giving more than one-fifth. One exception to that rule, the Shittim Gubetza says in Ksubas, is giving to Hachzakas HaTorah, to give to yeshivas, to give to a kolel, to support people who are learning. That goes way beyond. Why? Because what's the reason you shouldn't give more than a fifth? So the simple reason is because... What's that?
You're trying to do it to show off.
Oh, no, not necessarily. Even if a person does it anonymously. No one will find out. But I'm not supposed to make myself poor at that guy's expense. We want everyone to be, but like, why does he deserve it more than me? So a fifth is a reasonable amount. More than a fifth, not so posh. But if I'm supporting people who are learning, so then, what do you mean? We got a good deal over here. I'm not just giving away my money. I'm getting the schar from that guy sitting in the base medrash. So that's a fair exchange. I can spend more than a fifth on that that sorech if I would like to, and that's not, you know, out of bounds as far as the amount I'm supposed to be giving. Yes.
You just said that you can't get more than a fifth. The reason being is
correct. Correct. But in terms of the that's Bein Adam L'Makom. In terms of my relationship with the other people around me, you know, they say Shlomo Karlbach, his pockets are always empty. He'd do a concert, they give him money before he left the building. You know, I don't know, some hippie guy, you know, had already asked him for something and he had given out the money before he even left the building. So is anything bad gonna happen to him? No. Is he gonna starve? No. But at the same time, a person is supposed to have a cognizance of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you and your the appropriate response to those possessions, and to make yourself poor to help someone else it's not considered a wise way to live your life.
You can never get poor.
So I think within the bounds of what you're supposed to do, so then you have this promise that nothing's gonna hurt you. Person says, you know, how am I gonna make this wedding? I got to save all my money. I can't give 10%. How am I going to make this work? How am I going to send my kids to college? Hashem Baruch Hu says, send your kids to college. You'll be able to support yourself. Nothing bad's going to happen. If you give away all your money, then you may talk and not be able to put your kids through because you didn't listen to the rules, right? At some point, you're being irresponsible. There is a sense of being irresponsible, and we don't necessarily have an obligation to support people who are irresponsible. Guy is on drugs. Guy's on drugs. So, do I have a chiyuv to help him and give him tzedakah so we can buy more drugs, more alcohol? That's a different story. You should put him in rehab, but if he comes asking for money and it's a reasonable suspicion that he's going to use it in the wrong way, it's a different story. Okay, let's just spend the last few minutes just a couple interesting nafkaminas, practical nafkaminas about this mitzvah. Once we've defined meiser ksufim as being totally different than tzedakah, it would seem. Okay, and getting back to Tzvi's question was, I the guy in shul was collecting money, I gave him something, I gave him tzedakah, can I deduct that from my meiser 100%? Because the idea is that they overlap. There's a baseline requirement for a third of a shekel every year, that's the mitzvah tzedakah. Bigger picture, there's meiser ksufim, but those don't have to be contradiction. The small, minimal amount of tzedakah is still subsumed under your meiser. Okay? Now, what did we say earlier, Rabosai? We said that any source, whether it be d'oraisa, whether it be d'rabbanan, or a minug, right, what's the basis for such an idea? It comes from the very same pasuk that teaches you to take 10% from your produce, right? The mitzvah of meiser, right? That was the Tosfos in Tainis, quotes from the Sifri, that aser taseres kol tzvuas arecha, kol comes to include even your business profits. Okay? But where is it derived from? It's derived from the very same dinim that govern taking 10% from your produce. So how much do we cross over the laws and say, hey, if it applies to the meiser of my produce, it should apply to the meiser of my money as well? What do I mean? Let me give you an example. Let's say I'm supposed to... let's say I have a bushel of apples. Okay? So I take a little bit off from Truma. After I take off from Truma, I have to give 10% to the lady, right? What if I want to give 11%? What if I want to give 11%? Am I allowed to?
Oh, no.
No. Not allowed to. What do you mean? Be generous. What's going to happen if I give 11% to my... if I'm not precise about my meiser, what's going to happen?
Next time I'll give 8.
Okay, that's interesting. Interesting. Okay, so Joey says a pshat is because you'll break even a little bit later. But bottom line, what's going to happen if you do that the next time? Right. So you have to remember both. There's a whole system over here. There's a sequence. First, I take truma, and then there's meiser, and then there's truma's meiser, and there's meiser sheni, meiser ani, right? And each one is progressively deducted proportionally from what's left after I took the previous gift. You with me? So if I take a little too much, or a little less for that matter, from one gift, that means the next one's going to get shortchanged, or it's going to be off. So it's very precise. So even there, I could give more, but first I have to designate this 10%, that's for the ani. After that, give all the tzedakah you want. Great. Okay? But there's a concept. It's a mishnah in Pirkei Avos. You're not allowed to take your maestros me omed. You can't approximate and, you know, just make an estimate how much I have. You have to give very precisely 10%. Question is, what if a person wants to give more meiser than 10%? Is he allowed? Is he allowed to do that? If I want to give 11% of my salary, some poskim say no. It's like shocking, right? It's shocking. Some say that if you want to give 1/5, which we said is the highest way, you should write two checks. This is 10%, and there's another 10%, and together they add up to 1/5. Okay? So that's a shiloh. So Shach just said he doesn't believe that we pass him like that. He said, how could it be? How could it be that a person, that meiser ksufim is so linked to the meiser of produce that we're going to be so precise? He says he doesn't think that that's accepted halacha. Moreover, Rav Ozner writes that bisman is it's so complicated. Figuring out meiser is so complicated. Pre-tax, after-tax, it's very complicated to even figure out what of your income is subject to meiser. And then I have to wait later on to figure out my dividends. You know, I'm going to make more money this year. if I take a snapshot where the stock market's holding in March as opposed to where it's holding in June, things get very, very complicated. And sometimes it's hard to pin down, so what exactly is the time frame? What's my fiscal year? And how do I take into account all the different cheshbonos, and I'm waiting to get my tax returns back from the accountant? It sometimes, if it's just easier and more, we'll say, calculable to just approximate, so then you're allowed to do that and you're not obligated to wait till the end of the year and be extremely medactic down to the cent. There is a line in the Chafetz Chaim which seems to indicate that that bracha of becoming rich, of testing Hashem, is only if you're precise about the 10%. It's a chiddush. There are sources in Kabbalah that suggest that precision, but al pi halacha we don't go with that. Two more quick points. There is a minority opinion that says Ma'aser K'sufim only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Oh, why should that be? So the answer could be because if it's really linked so carefully to Ma'aser of produce, so yeah, that's only true if you're inside Eretz Yisrael. Another chiddush, okay, this I'm saying on my own, so this might be incorrect, but think about this, okay? Let's say with this we'll close. The mitzvah tzedakah, take a look at page number one. Sefer HaChinuch, Rabosai. Sefer HaChinuch goes parsha by parsha, giving you the list of the 613 mitzvahs as you go through the weekly seder, right? So mitzvah, tafayin test. It's towards the bottom of the first page, tafayin test, mitzvah tzedakah. Lasos tzedakah im hatzorach eleha besimcha ubetov levav. Someone asks you for money, the mitzvah is to give it to him with a happy, good heart, make the guy feel good. Make him feel like $1 million, even if he didn't give $1 million, right? And for that matter, the halacha is, if you're unable to help a person monetarily, don't like sort of like shrug your shoulders and look like you're annoyed that he's asking you something, but schmooze with him, wish him atzlacha, tell him I'm so sorry, but I hope, I once gave a shir on tzedakah in Edmonton. Spent a few weeks there a few years back in the summer, and I gave a shir about tzedakah, and there was an elderly woman at the shir who told me something very beautiful. She said that sometimes, you know, people call on the phone, dinner time, solicitations, asking for money, and you can't always give a check to every person who calls you on the phone. But she never hangs up the phone without saying, what you're doing is so important, and I wish you so much success that the next people that you call, they should respond generously. And that isn't even the poor person. We can imagine how good they feel, how embarrassing it is that they have to call 1 million people over dinner time, people hanging up on them, people are not picking up the phone. Make the person feel good and give them bracha that they should be successful. Very, very worthy thing. But so notice the chinuch says not that it's a mitzvah to do tzedakah, and by the way, make sure you have a good attitude when you do it. No, the mitzvah is to give tzedakah with a good attitude, right? The Rambam says elsewhere that got to give it with a good attitude, and if you make the ani feel rotten, you lose all the schar for the mitzvah. But you still did what you were supposed to do. I handed him the money, according to the Rambam. Zakat Sefer Chinuch, no, you didn't do any mitzvah whatsoever if you don't do it with a kind, good-hearted response. What about Ma'aser K'sufim, Bosai? What about Ma'aser K'sufim? Is there an obligation in the same way to give Ma'aser with the same degree of simcha? Maybe not. If those are two different mitzvos, so then maybe, even if I do it with, again, not a little bit of a frown, but the extent of the severity of how that's treated, and certainly the way the Sefer HaChinuch says it in terms of the mitzvah may not be applicable to Ma'aser K'sufim. I mean, that's an independent obligation altogether. Okay, everyone have a great day.